Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. This morning we talked about the last message of the Bible. And he showed me a throne of God and of the Lamb. A clear, crystal, pure river. And it was all about our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're thirsty, that's where you go to get a drink. And drink you may freely do. This evening we're going to talk about the first message. The first gospel message in God's Word. And you find it in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Our Lord said of Himself, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." And He's everything in between. All we need to know and all we want to know as believers is our Lord Jesus Christ. Why would we want to know anything else but Him? When it comes to spiritual things, He is the one. You see, He said of Himself, "In the volume of the book it is written of me." In the whole volume. Jesus Christ is not the central theme of Scripture. He's the only theme of Scripture. Wherever you go, wherever passage you're in, you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ. He is there. He is in prophecy. He's in the Psalms. He's in the history books. He is everywhere throughout the Bible. He's all through the New Testament. You see, God makes much about His Son, doesn't He? He's well pleased with Him. He loves Him. He is satisfied with everything He did, and so He makes much about His Son. We who have sons, we kind of do the same things, don't we? We make much about our sons. We provide for them, we watch over them, and then when they do those things that we have taught them to do, how pleasing, how satisfying that is to us. Our God, greater than that, loves His Son. And the whole volume of the book is written about Jesus Christ. And here we have two verses that give us the gospel. Let's look at it and see. First of all, it says, "In the beginning, God." I don't care what beginning you think about. In the beginning, there's God. Go all the way back to the foundations of the world. In the beginning was God. In the beginning, we read from John chapter 1, Jesus Christ was the Word, Jesus Christ Himself. In the beginning was God. The word God here is an interesting word to some degree because it says in the Hebrew language, it's Elohim. That's plural. That's plural. In the beginning was the Trinity. In the beginning was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All the way back in the beginning. There is a group of people, a so-called church, that says that Jesus Christ was a created being just like the devil, just like Satan, Lucifer. Oh, he was not a created being. He's eternal. He's God. He always has been. Always will be. He's the one with whom we have to do because no man has seen God at any time. There's only one way, as we read in John chapter 1. There's only one way to see God, and that's through the body of Jesus Christ. And thank the Lord that when He resurrected, He went to His throne with that body, and when we get to glory, we're going to see God in the form, in the body of Jesus Christ Himself. What a blessing that'll be. We'll be able to see God. We'll be able to see God. Elohim. Now, the word, the last part of that, him, or I am, as it may be, we talk about cherubs. But when we want plural, we say cherubim. We talk about seraph. But when we want to say plural, we say seraphim. When we talk about God, and we want to talk about the Trinity, we talk about Elohim. And that's his name here. In the beginning, God. I want you to turn with me to a few verses. We're going to be looking at a few verses tonight. So let's start in Isaiah chapter 45. And while you're turning there, when you go to the verse 26 of chapter 1 of Genesis, you remember the Lord said, "Let us make man in our image." The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, yet one, as we'll see. Isaiah 45. In Isaiah chapter 45, go down to verse 5. The Lord is speaking and he says, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There's no God beside me." Go to chapter 46, verse 9. He says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure." Now turn back to 43, Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." Only one God. Only one God, and there's none like him. None at all like him. Nebuchadnezzar learned that, didn't he? He went crazy for 7 years. Was out there in the fields eating grass like the cows. His hair had grown long and had feathered themselves up and looked like eagle's feathers. His fingernails had grown long and looked like eagle's claws. 7 years he was out there because he stood up one day at his palace and looked over all his land and said, "Look what I have done. Look what I have made." And God said, "We'll show you who made it. We'll show you who's done it." And so in Daniel chapter 4, when he regains his composure, when he regains his consciousness, when he is crazy no more, what does he talk about? Turn with me to Daniel chapter 4. We've read it many, many times, but it's good for us to read it again. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. "And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised him. And I praise and honor him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Why are you doing this? This is the God we're talking about. From eternity, he's the one that the writer of Hebrews said, he is the one with whom we have to do. What do you do with God? What are you doing with God? Is he Lord and Savior? Is he the Son of the living God? Is he the Christ? And what do you do with him? He is before him all things, and by him all things consist. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In the beginning, God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Speaking of Jesus Christ, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or power, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. It's all held together by our Lord Jesus Christ. One of these days, he's going to let it go. And this earth will be destroyed by fire. And then comes the new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. And all those who have believed and trusted Jesus Christ will be there with him forever and ever. Back to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created it all. At his word, all creation came into existence. He spoke, and it was done. He is the creator, and we are the created. We don't often remember that. Well, at least we don't often act that way. He's the creator. We are the created. We're that insignificant little speck of dust on the balance that Isaiah talks about in Isaiah chapter 40. When you think about the universe and all the galaxies of the universe, I was talking with Pam and Brad about this one time. I think there were some others there talking with us. But when you think about all that great, vast universe, and scientists tell us that it's even spreading farther and farther out. How they know, I don't know. But they're telling us it's spreading even farther and farther out. And we live in this vast universe, and the earth is just as a matter of fact, can't be seen from most places through the universe. And then, I think you were there, we were talking, Steve. And then we talked about, and here's these little people. These little things, created things, walking around on this earth, how insignificant are we in all this? And yet, he's mindful of man. Made him a little lower than the angels. Isn't that something? Oh, the grace of our God that would take such a little insignificant thing like us and make us his sons and daughters. Why, Job went through trials. You remember the trials that Job went through? Lost everything except a few servants. Had some friends come by and they tried to prove to him that all that happened to him was because of something he had done, which is work salvation. And the Lord finally came to Job and said, Job, were you there when I made this earth? Were you there when I laid the foundation of this world? Who is he that darkeneth counsel? Job, I'm going to teach you something. In chapters 38 through 40, God taught Job who he was. He was sovereign God. He was the Creator. He is Elohim. He is God, Jehovah. Were you there when I created all these things? Let me look at it a different way. Yes, I was. I was in the mind and heart of God. I was elected before the world was made. The Lamb was slain before this world was made, before I ever came into existence. Yes, I was. And that's what the Lord was teaching Job in that. God created the heaven and the earth. And then I want you to notice that it says in verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. I'm not going to get into theological discussions about a gap theory between verses 1 and 2. I'm not going to try to say that God created it just this way, although he could have. He can do all his pleasure. He can do whatever he wants to do. And there's been nothing wrong with that. But I am going to say that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. In the gospel, we start with God. That's where it begins. That's where it comes from. Our sovereign God. And in the gospel, when we start with God, we see us. And what do we see? Ruin. We see without form and void and darkness. That's what we see. We see sin. We see ourselves as vile, wicked sinners. And that's why Jesus Christ came to restore us. Because Adam had fallen into sin. He transgressed the law. He was disobedient. He deliberately and rebelliously shook his hand in the fist in the face of God and said, I'm going to go ahead and eat. My wife has already eaten. I'm going to go and eat with her. There's some comparison there of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. We were in sin. We, his bride, were in awful, wicked sin. And he came to this earth, into this wicked, wicked world. He came without sin. Perfect, sinless Son of God. But he took upon himself our sin. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And herein is the gospel. Adam deliberately sinned. As in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. We're hopelessly ruined. We were hopelessly without God. We were rebels in the face of God. We deserve to have this without form and void and darkness in our lives. But thank the Lord, in his covenant of grace, he said, though the whole world is ruined, there's some I'm going to make my own. And the only way I can do that is that I'll send my son, and he will take their sin and die for them. Substitute himself for them. He will shed his blood for them, and that blood will cover their sin. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over them. What a blessing. What a blessing. Can you imagine with me our Lord Jesus there at the cross? They had already abused him in the courtrooms. He had already received the 39 stripes of the cat of nine tails. He had already been buffeted by the soldiers. He had been mocked by them. They platted a crown of thorns and drove it down upon his head. And in his bleeding form, they made him carry his cross toward Calvary. On the way, somebody else helped. But when they got to the place of the skull, they laid that cross down, they laid our Lord down, and they drove nails through his hands and through his feet. Has anyone seen the sorrow like my sorrow? There they stood him up, hung him up, to be seen of all men, naked before all. And Jesus Christ did that for one reason. He was made to be sin for us. He took that ruin. He took that without form and void. He took that darkness. As a matter of fact, he spent 3 hours in darkness when God turned the lights off. And our Savior hung in the darkness. And from that darkness he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And when God had finally finished all his fury and all his wrath upon sin, who was his son at that time, he turned the lights back on. And Jesus Christ said, it's finished. It's done. All the prophecies are fulfilled. All the sin of my people has been judged. They deserve death. I took it. They deserved hell. I took it. I went through those things. And by the way, when you think about it, Paul said, we were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. You see, we were made to be that sin and that ruin with Christ on the cross. We were judged worthy of death and did die with Jesus Christ on the cross. We died the death that Jesus died. Nevertheless, 3 days later, he's alive. And nevertheless, we live. Isn't that the gospel? The earth was without form and void, ruined and empty. And didn't he empty himself for you and me? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. But I like the next phrase. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There was darkness. Ungodly souls live in darkness. They're without the light. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness to them. He doesn't understand them. Job was asked, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? These people, those in darkness are the children of the night, the Bible speaks of. And they speak of these dark things, the darkest hour of history I told us about, when men crucified the Lord in 3 hours of darkness. He was forsaken by God. Dark counsels. Well, they say God loves everybody. What about Cain? Esau. What about Pharaoh? What about all those souls who have never believed and died and gone to hell? Does God love everybody? No, He loves His own. He loves His sheep. That's who He loves. He doesn't love the goats. He loves His world, His people. He didn't even pray for the world. I pray not for the world, John 17. They say, well, Christ died for all men. We can take this voidness, this without form, this darkness, and we can mix it up and we can make it look good. Christ died for all men. Well, He gave His life for the sheep. He said, Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. Oh, let's don't darken this up. The Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel is that He took our place. It's the gospel of substitution. He took our place. And then it says in verse 2 of Genesis 1, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The word moved means brooded. Whenever I think of the word brood, I think of hens and chicks. And what do hens do when the storm comes along? They get those chicks in. They protect those chicks. And they get their brood together. The Spirit of God brooded upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God was brooding upon those that are God's chosen. And the Spirit of God was bringing them in because of this ruin and because of this emptiness and because of this darkness. The Spirit of God is moving them in. And He's still doing it today. He's still effectually calling God's sheep. He's the one who called me through the Word of God. He's the one who called you through the Word of God. You see, He does the convincing. He came into the world to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because let's read it here. In John chapter 16. John chapter 16. John 16, when He is come, verse 8, John 16, when He, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He does the convincing. The word reprove here means convince. He does the convincing. God does the convincing. I can't do it. You can't do it. Soul winners can't do it. Only God can. Only God can do the convincing. And not only does He do the convincing, but He does the work. Brother Steve read from Romans chapter 8. On Sunday night, God does the work. The Spirit of God does the work. You don't do the work. I don't do the work. And if we worked ourselves into the congregation of God, it wouldn't be worth anything. Because it's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. What happened when the Spirit of God moved? Creation. 6 days of creation. When the Spirit of God moved. 6 days is the number of man, isn't it? The God-man, Jesus Christ, still is creating. It's called a new nature, a new creation. We are a new creation, created in Christ Jesus. And then on the seventh day, He rested. That's the gospel. We rest in Him. That's where our rest is. We toil and labor in this life to make money to subsidize ourselves. The Lord allows us strength enough to do so. The Lord gives us strength enough to do so. But when it comes to spiritual things, God expects us to rest. Just trust. Just trust. Trusting Him. That's all we can do. Resting in Him. He's resting at the throne that we talked about this morning. Our Lord has done all that was necessary for us at the cross. And He has done it for a peculiar people, a chosen people, a redeemed people, a regenerated people, and a people whom He loved. He sat down at the right hand of His Father, and He now intercedes and mediates for you and me. And He calls us to rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Isn't that the gospel story? Right there in Genesis verses 1 and 2. Oh, I'm so glad that you could find the gospel everywhere throughout Scripture. Because it's Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for what You have done for us and teaching us again, anew and afresh, the gospel. And tonight, may that be a comfort, a strength. May it give us peace. And may we just be still and know that You are God. Thank You, Lord, that You are our Creator, but also that You've created a new creation, a new nature within us. We give You praise and honor and glory because it is due Your name, that name which is above every name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 125 in your hymnal. 125. I think it's Jesus Paid It All. Let's stand and let's sing it together. Thank you.